what this does is it gets the word out. It lets everybody know. It reassures George.
You're still our number one guy. We're bringing this guy in, but you're going to get even more.
Like,
you do your thing, you're going to get paid even bigger.
Yeah. There's no rule that says we can't pay both of you guys.
The Eagles have paid two.
Right. And, other teams and have Dulac paid two, even brings that up in this article. Exactly. He mentions the Eagles. So I think that's... I think they get out in front of this story. Like, one of the talking points to this whole Aiyuk courtship has been, how is George Pickens going to handle it? How is he going to react to another guy coming in who's making a lot of money and is viewed around the league as a number one wide receiver? This feels like the Steelers preemptively
getting it out
the
there
word
via
out.
The biggest name beat writer who's been covering the team the longest. Basically, the title of this article in the body could have been, George, you'll get yours too from us. Signed, us.
Or, I mean, like, let's say that the Aiyuk trade doesn't end up happening. It's still a love letter to Pickens where it's like, hey, just because we tried to bring this guy in who's a bigger name wide receiver than you and a more productive wide receiver so far.
We only brought him in to pair with you, not to replace you. You're still our guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
That Shania Twain song, You're Still the One. Do you like that?
The Shania Twain song? Or
no, the idea that they are going to pay Pickens big money.
I don't actually believe it's true.
Okay.
I think it's right now just you're telling him that because you want to get the best out of George Pickens and you don't want to create a situation.
If he has a monster season this year, do you think they will pay him big money?
Yes, I do.
1,400 yards.
Yes, I do. Oh my God, if he has a 1,400-yard season,
he has an 1,100-yard season with like 9 touchdowns. Now, if Brandon Aiyuk's here, 1,109 touchdowns, I feel like, looks a lot different.
If he has 1,109...
It's different if Brandon Aiyuk's here and he puts up 1,109 than if Brandon Aiyuk's not here.
Of course.
It just is.
Yeah, because if he does it without him, then it's like, even with the full attention of the defense, he was able to put up these big numbers.
Oh, no, I was going to say, even with the... he's like getting so many more targets, he's got to do a little bit more than that.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
And if Aiyuk's like here, he isn't getting as many targets, and he's facing single coverage, yeah, but there's another viable target to look at.
You could look at it that way, too.
9 touchdowns would double his career production to this point in that regard.
Would I feel comfortable coming off of one big year paying him?
No, I'm going to give you this, actually. The 9 touchdowns I'm keeping.
Okay.
Everything else is exactly the same from last year. 63, 1,140, and a league-leading 18.1 yards per catch.
And off of that information, I got to decide if I'm going to pay
him. Big money or not.
It's another year, so maybe it's like $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scenario, and in this hypothetical, I have Aiyuk already or I don't. Because honestly, my answer is going to depend on that. Because
if you don't have him, what are you doing?
If I don't have him, then I feel like I'm desperate enough where I probably have to.
If you do have him, buy.
If it's the same numbers, yeah, I probably am inclined to let him go. But it's tough. It's honestly one of those things right now where I hate to be the guy that has the picket fence like jammed up his rear end cheeks and blood is pouring out of them, but
that's a visual I really didn't need today.
I right now, I could talk myself into either one. Dulac, no matter the amount that Aiyuk signs for, it will not affect what the Steelers do when Pickens becomes a free agent after the 2025 season, according to team sources. The Steelers consider Pickens their number one receiver and intend to pay him accordingly.
He said after the 2025 season. Oh, no. You have to make this decision before then. You think George Pickens is going into next year as a shrinking violet at
no,
camp?
No, I think he's just pointing out when he goes into free agency.
I know, but for all intents and purposes, you have to decide whether or not you're going to pay him between the end of this year and the start of next year. He will be 3 years into his career. He will have 1 year left. He ain't going to want to sit around and play for that.
I got to be honest with you. I actually think he's like my wishy-washy, not sure what to do. I actually think if he had those numbers that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
if he wanted to be paid at the top of the receiver scale, obviously Jefferson's an outlier, but like next tier down, like whatever Ayuk gets, AJ Brown, that kind of money, whatever CeeDee Lamb gets, whatever Ja'Marr Chase ends up getting, if he wants to get paid in that class of wide receiver, then I would ride it out and then franchise tag him is what I would do. I'd give him the T. Higgins treatment.
T. Higgins has been a pretty quiet soldier about all that.
He's been a great soldier. He signed the tag before training camp started, and he's practicing.
Do you really think George Pickens would be that?
No, but part of that is why I would have reservations about giving him big money in the first place.
Part of me thinks that if they really do intend to give him big money, and none of this is about just trying to get the best out of him, like you said, if I take it at face value, I think Mike Tomlin loves the idea of being able to say everyone had red flags all over this guy. I got him to produce. I got him to largely keep on the straight and narrow, and we paid him. This is like my extra middle finger to all of you in the football intelligentsia. I can do things that you can't.
Now, unless the video that they just showed, and I'd like Donnie to get this Graziano from their NFL Insider, what he's saying about Ayuk. Again, it's not Schefter on ESPN, on NFL Live, you notice. They're going to their...
Do you know something? Is Schefter getting punished for his unwillingness to do something?
No,
here?
I just think he does not...
So he can, I can't he say can he doesn't force have, Graziano to do this take?
I don't know. I just think it's bizarre that this is a story that everyone's on, and he has not had anything new to say about it since he was on McAfee Show on Monday. And you're asking me to give you my theory on it, and I'm struggling to come up with words other than he thinks that there's so much BS that's associated with this that he just doesn't want to, until he has someone at the very top of San Francisco say, the trade is done, I'll break the trade, but I'm not going to get into the speculation about it anymore.
He's not rolling around in the mud.
The video they just showed of Ayuk, he did not have a red 49ers shirt on. He had just a plain white t-shirt at practice, if that was video from today.
All the people reporting said it was a red t-shirt today.
Including we had, Grant Cohn, who is...
He's their Noah Strackbine, I think.
Okay, so he is the Sports Illustrated reporter for the 49ers.
I believe that's
he
correct.
He ran out of the facility to make a video of himself talking about what Ayuk looked like watching practice.
We have this?
Yes.
Day 15 of training camp, and whatever happened on the field today is completely irrelevant because Brandon Ayuk was there watching from the sideline. He was in between the two fields. He was about 60 yards away from Kyle Shanahan. He was wearing a red 49ers cutoff t-shirt.
Timeout.
It looks like a guy being interrogated by the police about something he witnessed.
I was going to say, it sounds like a news reporter. It sounds like someone describing...
It sounds like somebody taking a witness statement. Tell us everything you saw about Brandon Ayuk.
It does.
He was about 60 yards away from Mr. Shanahan. I saw him. He was wearing a red t-shirt. He was walking with no noticeable limp. He appeared to have a large zin in his mouth.
First time I've seen him wear a 49ers logo in a while. Remember, he scrubbed the social media of all 49ers references. And he was drinking blue Gatorade, which is an interesting choice. I like blue Gatorade. I also...
That part's gotta be a joke, too.
I left that in on purpose. I gotta hear. I should probably cut this, but you know what? It'll be funny.
I gotta hear the rest. Is there an addendum to I like blue Gatorade?
Oh yeah, the blue Gatorade rises up yet again.
I feel that purple Gatorade is delicious. He didn't go up to John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan to shake their hands, but people went up to Ayuk. First it was Deebo Samuel. They were talking for a while on the sideline. Then it was Danny Gray. No one really cares about him. Then it was John Lynch. He walked to Ayuk, shook his hand, patted him on the back. If they're having, acrimonious negotiations, you couldn't tell. And then finally George Kittle walked over to Brandon Ayuk. They were talking for a while. Then practice ended. Kyle Shanahan huddled everyone up, and Brandon Ayuk did not go. He just walked off the field holding the blue Gatorade, which again is a delicious flavor of Gatorade.
So I'm thinking there's like some stupid significance that this guy's going to connect to blue Gatorade. There isn't. He just wanted to give a take about blue Gatorade. Buddy, Grant, I like blue Gatorade too. Probably the best flavor. I don't care about it in the context of this report.
I'm so happy Donnie got this.
Just walked off the field holding the blue Gatorade, which again is a delicious flavor of Gatorade.
If it was yellow, like traditional lemon lime, he could come close enough to saying, and that is a Steelers color.
You know
what,
Grant?
Yellow Gatorade.
You you got the assignment. You understood the assignment. I think you should put this on whatever career resume reel you have.
Is it bad that I don't have an updated resume?
I don't have one.
Like, everyone's like, I've got a reel of
Donnie,
my best stuff.
Do you have a LinkedIn?
I don't have any of that.
I'm not very active on LinkedIn. I have one.
Do you have one, Chris?
I have a LinkedIn, but
I don't.
That site is the most transactional place on the internet. It's
does
some
Sonny
guy
Gray
who,
have one?
Hold on.
LinkedIn, Sonny?
He got
he does.
To. So some guy definitely, you want to talk about not understanding the assignment? A guy, I saw like one of those LinkedIn messages like wanting to be friends or like request a whatever, connect, is it what you do? He goes, hey, Chris, I see you too are a Penn State graduate. We are. And I'm thinking, buddy, you have no idea who you are talking to right now.
Oh, man.
None. It was like for financial services too. We are not going to be doing business, buddy.
All access with Aditi. Let's see if she reads into the blue Gatorade and him showing up with a shirt that had a 49er logo on it. But if you're still hoping for the Steelers, he did not participate in the huddle, Chris. Did not want to be a part of the team huddle at the end of practice.
And then he ate
per
a
that very expansive report.
He ate a double stuffed Oreo as he was coming off the field. Very significant choice, as I prefer soft batch cookies or Chips Ahoy, but the Oreo is still a delicious cookie.
Okay, now it just sounds like you're doing some version of like a Mel Kiper Jr. scouting report.
What, the cadence?
Yeah, that's kind of what he sounded like, which is a delicious flavor of Gatorade. Like, I can imagine.
I saw Ayuk. He was wearing red shirt, had the blue Gatorade. Blue Gatorade, a great choice. Purple Gatorade, good too, but I'm a big fan of blue.
I could picture our guy Joey Molinaro, like, doing a.
Maybe Joey. Well, Joey's a huge Steeler fan, so maybe if he gets fed up enough with all of this, he'll eventually get in.
Up. You know why? Because I just was DMing him pictures of, like, Ayuk for days.
Why? What is your problem?
I have a sickness.
What is your major malfunction?
Texas on the Ed Gridiron Associates fan text line. Headline, and then back with All Access with Aditi on the Fan. All right, so thanks to that Grant Cohen report from Sports Illustrated in San Francisco, we now know Brandon Ayuk did have a 49er logo on his shirt for the first time in a very long time. If there were acrimonious negotiations going on, he said you couldn't tell from the small talk he made with John Lynch. He did not participate in the 49ers team huddle at the end of practice. And he was drinking blue Gatorade the entire time.
Purple Gatorade, good, but blue, very good. Now, I could even say, Pony, there's a difference. There's cool blue, which is terrible. There's Glacier Freeze, which is more of a greenish blue. Terrific.
Time to talk to Aditi to go all access with the NFL on CBS reporter who lives right here in Fox Chapel and brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, what do you read into Brandon Ayuk wearing 49ers garb at practice today?
What did I tell you guys last week?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
You can't remember anything I say, huh?
No, we do,
well,
usually.
Well, you put me on the spot.
Oh,
and
you
said
you thought he'd be back.
Don't be surprised if he gets back in the fold. Or I said I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back in the fold. Look, the suitor that sort of has been the last team standing, essentially, is the Steelers. But we know that the 49ers want a player in return. So however long the Steelers have been trying to involve another team to make this a three-way deal to be able to send a player that the 49ers can plug and play into what they believe is a championship team just hasn't materialized yet. I texted you earlier, Pony. I heard an interesting name as potentially a player that the Steelers could maybe kind of, could there have been any interest on that end? But I don't think that, my understanding is that the Steelers weren't necessarily looking to move that player. And, you know, it's sort of like the Amari Cooper Browns thing, right? That was reported, and the Browns weren't going to move Amari Cooper. So there don't seem to be that many options right now.
It feels
and
like...
again, I mean, we keep saying this. I've said this now for several weeks. He is in an optimum situation. He is playing for a brilliant and innovative offensive mind on a team that is going to be playing in January and perhaps February. And there are two featured guys on that offense that draw more attention from every defense in Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. And that creates a lot of space and opportunity for him. It's a completely different world when he has to go to a team where he is the number one option and maybe has some suspect or not yet settled quarterback play.
How long do you think it takes before we get a resolution? Because right now it looks like one of those coming-of-age movies where the bully and one other guy are about to fight, but they just dance around for like what seems like an eternity on the screen before something happens.
I mean, it does feel like this has gone on forever, but again, it's sort of how motivated are both sides. Is Ayuk kind of hearing, is it kind of, I hate that I'm saying kind of, please forgive me, I'm exhausted. Is he finally thinking about the bigger picture, as I just laid out? What is the opportunity where he is, and what can that lead to? And is he also seeing what the market is or what the chances are to get somewhere else? And are the 49ers also saying, okay, you know what, we don't only want him here, but we want him happy, and where can we meet him? What's the middle ground here?
Aditi, you are with the Browns. We actually have the Browns and Packers game on our TV and studio. We've seen you do some sideline reporting during this game.
No volume.
So we're just seeing the smiles and the head nods from the athlete when you're asking them questions. We're not hearing what you're saying. This is on NFL Network.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it would have been really brilliant.
To what? Just just turn the volume up and hear your answers there.
Teasing.
Yes, I'm only bringing that up because I'm interested. You are embedded with the Browns during the preseason. What reason were you given for why Brandon Ayuk did not want to play for the Browns?
We don't know that was actually on the table.
Well, wouldn't you say can you surmise from what Amari Cooper put on social media that he felt like he was included in a trade offer to San Francisco?
I wouldn't. Don't be surprised if Amari Cooper isn't playing with everybody or having a little fun with this.
Interesting. Because you've been dubious of Cleveland's interest in Ayuk from the very beginning.
I've said that to you from the very beginning, yes.
So why do you think that they were reported as a suitor for Ayuk? What's your conspiracy
theory? Because I think that in general, there's often a lot of misinformation out there in general.
Sure, but
how does it suit them to actually be connected as one of the interested parties if they weren't?
That's what I'm trying to ask you. Thank
you,
Chris.
But what do you expect? Do you expect a general manager to get out there every single time there's a false rumor or a false story and say this actually doesn't have any weight to it? This isn't actually accurate.
And sometimes when the GMs do that on the record, I don't even believe them. I mean, we've seen the Hard Knocks with the Giants,
right?
And the dude says, I just go up there and lie. That's not how I'm going to actually answer the question, how I really feel.
Exactly.
So that
exactly.
doesn't even put out the fire. But I'm only asking you because I think you have a better perspective on what happened with the Browns than literally any person we could bring on with the show, including Ken Carman, who we don't like on the show anymore. So,
well, you should like him because he's a lovely man and he's a wonderful friend. I will say this. I have been told that was a lot of misinformation. What was publicly reported was not true, was not necessarily... how can I phrase this and not get myself in trouble? Any good general manager is going to listen to everything, kick the tires on anything, because you never know. It might be something like the Steelers bringing in Russell Wilson for the veteran minimum. You never know what deal is available, what's out there. You're not doing your job if you're completely closed-minded. There are only certain unicorns that you never take a phone call on, like TJ Watt. But in general, you might talk. You might have a conversation. But that sometimes can be blown completely out of proportion.
Aditi,
and
go ahead,
there are a lot of people that are invested in often planting misinformation.
Oh, yes.
Such as agents, perhaps. Such as other teams. I mean, this goes across any sort of piece of covering the NFL. I mean, go back to when C.J. Stroud was coming out in the draft, and all of a sudden there are these reports about how he did on a cognitive test.
Yes.
And he's hinted at it. He said, I think I know, or I know where that came from. There's a teams and agents, and it's all part of the game. It's all part of the manipulation game. And we're the sheep that buy into things sometimes. So I'm just telling you, that wasn't quite what was reported.
Aditi, we'll talk next week. Good luck with Browns preseason game number two this weekend.
I so appreciate that. It's the Vikings who just lost J.J. McCarthy.
And maybe Jordan Addison at practice today, too.
Oh, my. Yeah. I better get on that.
See you, Aditi.
All right. All right. Talk to you soon, guys.
There you go.
Bye.
That, if that's misinformation on the Browns ever offering that trade, a lot of people have run with that. And when I say a lot, I mean literally everyone is treated as gospel.
Correct.
That.
And why would the Browns leak something that they didn't even, that they were just trying to throw people off with, when it would have the potential to piss off their best receiver?
That's why I thought they might have went to him and said, hey, we're only involved in this because we want to drive up the Steelers' price.
Well, that would at least be a plausible reason.
And they tell Cooper that, hey,
yes, we're not actually going to do this deal.
This fake news story is going to come out about you, but we're letting you know it's not true.
This is corporate espionage. We are trying to make it tougher on the Steelers. We love you.
We're trying to hurt our rival. I hope you can appreciate that.
Cooper's a better receiver than Ayuk, so, I mean, I would hope he would understand.
You're wrong about that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Do the stats agree with you? I rest my case.
Nico Collins is Brandon Ayuk, then, if the stats are what we're going by.
Where did Nico Collins go to college?
Michigan.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Key and Peters Township.
Didn't think I'd have that one up the old sleeve, did you, pal?
Coming up next, it's Donnie's segment. It's called The Debrief, but first, a headline. That music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie's new friends at Steel Mill Saloon. The Debrief.
The Debrief, August 14, 2024. Here's an interesting one. Our guy Jolie brought this to my attention last night. We talked about
Jolie,
it for a few moments.
Jolie. He loves betting on baseball and watching Penn State.
Las Vegas police say they could boycott working Raiders games over new security protocols. The field, press box, and locker room will now require facial authentication in NFL stadiums. Cops in Las Vegas don't want their biometric data shared by the NFL.
So this is to work for them, or this is to just, if you're going to those places, you need to have your face scanned?
I guess if they are working, okay, said game.
But I feel like if you were a kid, whenever the police would come and visit your school and you'd say, I don't want my fingerprint taken, when they show you how to do that, uh-oh, suddenly you're a bad kid.
You know, here's what I'd say about this. If they were still playing in Oakland, first of all, they wouldn't have this technology. They'd have, right? Like,
oh, no, no.
But the other thing is,
they'd match your face up to a sketch they did when you first walked in.
Yeah, it'd be like an old episode of Forensic Files.
The idea that, you know, obviously NFL games can be rambunctious and people are drinking and chaos can ensue and brouhahas and whatnot. But as someone that has been to a Steelers-Raiders game in Oakland and a Steelers-Raiders game last fall in Vegas, it is a completely different experience. Like, I felt intimidated and I felt a little bit scared going into the Coliseum for a game. And I was in the press box for the game, so when I was actually in the stadium, I wasn't concerned for my well-being. But it had a totally different vibe than the Vegas experience. Like, the black hole is just, it's more like a, It's not a black hole anymore.
It's just a bunch of people wearing stormtrooper gear.
It's like a purple hole or pink hole. Everyone's just, we're so happy to be here. We love football. We're not going to try to scare you or threaten to beat you up. Let's just watch a good game. Don't mind me. I don't have face paint.
Who are you, Little Red Riding? Are you the wolf trying to lure Little Red Riding Hood
in? It's not like it used to be.
Okay.
They lost the intimidation factor when they took the money to go to Sin City. So, yeah, like, you want security at games, of course, but...
So what do you think of the actual story here, though? The cops say what's good for the goose is not good for the gander.
So what are
the average Joe apparently needs to turn over all their biometric data, but not the cops?
No, I don't think any... I don't think the average Joes do.
If you're going into the press box, it sounds like I think you do.
No, Donnie just said you don't. It's just for the people that work it.
So just for, like, the... Wait a minute, if you're covering the game, aren't you working?
Yeah, you'd be
the
going
press
into
box.
The press box.
Oh, so they so
the
I would
field, press box, and locker room require facial recognition.
And the cops are the only ones who don't want to do it, you're saying?
Sounds
like Vegas police say they would boycott working Raiders games.
So let's use Kabali as an example here, because he just got that nice job from McAfee today. Congratulations on all his success, and he's gonna join us in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Steelers are getting ready to play the Raiders, like a week before.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers beat reporters are going to have to get
biometric scanned, I guess, like a face scan.
Are the Raiders going to pay for that? I mean, where do you go in Pittsburgh?
Wait, isn't this an NFL thing now? It's not just the Raiders. Is this NFL-wide?
It says in NFL stadiums.
Oh. So they need a picture of my face now?
No,
or they need to
like
do a scan of my face?
They need to scan your face to get you in.
Because I plan on going to the Colts game in September.
Well, they're going to have your face on file.
So
I
might need to talk to Jeff now to get a credential and say, hey, do I need to get the wheels in motion on the face scan? But what are they afraid? The NFL's going to sell their
face
scans? That's
why I say what's good. No, I think they want to be unaccountable to that.
Accountable to what?
I just think it's like a paranoia thing. They feel like they should be treated differently in this particular regard.
But what are they paranoid of? What do they think the NFL is going to do with this data?
I don't know.
Okay.
They clearly are stomping their feet about it, though.
Well, if the police are opposed to it, maybe I should reconsider doing it.
Maybe you should boycott with them.
Man, that press box was awesome, though.
The Roomba?
Oh, that was a great press box. Although, you know what they did that I didn't like? I did have one complaint. The spread of food.
Not great.
What they did was, they're like, let's make a Pittsburgh-based menu.
Yeah, a lot of places.
And let's come up with Pittsburgh foods
for
this game. And it's like, I've traveled out to Vegas.
Oh,
I eat Pittsburgh foods.
Yeah, you bitched and moaned about this. I remember.
All the time.
You complained about this.
Yeah.
That's almost more for their people than it is anything.
Well, why does it need to have a city theme?
I'll tell you what.
You're in Vegas, like... You can have basically
Vegas,
any kind of style of food in
the
entire world, and it can be done well there.
I know. That's the whole point. Vegas doesn't have its own
distinct food. If I
want
pierogies, I'm going to go somewhere in the Strip or the Rocks. I'm not going to friggin' go to
pierogies plus
the Raiders press box and get it. And it wasn't even that good.
I mean, I'll tell you what, though. If they were playing Kansas City and I were there for some KC barbecue, some burnt ends, I would be fired up.
They usually have it there.
I would be fired up for that.
In the Arrowhead press box. They did when... Because you're saying, like, oh, maybe they get sick. I wouldn't get... If I lived in Kansas City,
no,
I wouldn't get sick of that barbecue.
The Raiders went to play Vegas, and then they had that barbecue out there, like, shipped out there however you want to do it.
Saying.
Yeah, I'd be all about that, man. Now
but
I'm
that
hungry.
Barbecue at Arrowhead was awesome. I was
I'm
there for
hungry.
The...
Oh, Ross Tucker's got to go hog wild when he's out there. The Tuck spreads.
Donnie, are you going to... You should do that. You should do a video of the press box spread at all these high school football games.
Not a bad idea.
You got to get your hand in there, like got some chips, Mrs. Vicky's, you know, whatever, like got some meat sticks or something. I have no idea what a high school press box
that
spread
Pine,
looks like.
That Pine Richland spread is going to be probably friggin' prime rib before.
Yeah,
catered by Nobu Sushi.
Yeah, some are outstanding.
Jimmy Wan is just like someone like making the sushi like in... press box.
The fish comes into the press box alive and ends in your stomach.
I've pretty much seen it all, though, from the high school scope. I mean, I was doing a lot of Green County games.
Don't name
college.
The school. What is the worst spread you've seen? Don't name the school. Just tell me what was in it. Like, it has to have actually contained food. It can't just be they had nothing for us.
Oh, I was going to say, because some of those schools
really that's a whole different
nothing.
Category. I get it. And I don't want to shame anybody. I just do want to know what the most meager spread happened to look like.
I mean, I guess if you want to count it as food, but it's like they didn't have any, like, big, like, it wasn't like an actual like entree type meal. It was just like chips. They just had like snacks.
I would be okay with that, believe it or not.
When I was at the military bowl, when Pitt played Navy,
they should have had like meals ready to eat, the MREs.
It was goulash.
Goulash. Goulash.
Yeah. And like chain pizza that had been sitting out for hours. I was not impressed by our United States Navy that day.
I would expect the Navy to be better than the Army for some reason. They're in Annapolis, like you think right on the water, maybe some nice
crabs,
you know,
crabs, you're in Maryland?
Right. Lobster, maybe some lobster roll.
Goulash.
Instead, they hit you with that.
Donnie, have you had goulash
Isn't
before?
That like a Hungarian dish?
Can't say I have.
Do you even, if you had to guess, what do you think it is?
Got no clue.
Well, just throw some foods out there.
What do you think it looks like?
I wouldn't even
like.
Know where to start.
Do you think it's like
It sounds like a seafood.
No, it's like a stew kind of looking thing.
It's basically macaroni noodle, like macaroni.
Ground beef, macaroni
ground
noodles.
Ground beef and like a
cheese,
tomato
maybe,
base.
Or yeah, exactly. It's close to spaghetti. Or not actual spaghetti, but like a pasta dish, but not really. More
it's
meat.
Almost like a hamburger helper style
right.
food.
I'm looking at some goulashes here on Google Image. Some of them look
How
great.
They looking?
Some of them, not so good.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 62 degrees. Well, I think people started this day on the Aiyuk front thinking, it's over. He's going to be a 49er. It's 4:39. Has it happened yet? Yes or no? Our friend at ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, the latest to weigh in on this. ESPN now coming out of its cocoon to get in on the Aiyuk news train. We will update that, plus Kabali next hour on his new gig with Pat McAfee. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low is 62 degrees. Right now I'm telling you guys about Mike's Beer Bar. I love Mike's. I think the correct way of putting it right now as far as the baseball team that's right next door to Mike's is a good place to go drown your sorrows, but also a great place for Saturday night with the football game. Go over to Mike's, take the tee from Mike's over to the stadium. That'll be easy, so you don't have to walk all the way over. Nice little tea trip, and eat the great food over at Mike's. No goulash there, much better. Steak on a stone. You've got wings, sandwiches, wraps, burgers that are to die for. Great fries. And then, of course, the beer. I'm burying the lead. 80 rotating taps of craft beers here in Pittsburgh. Summer beers now. Some of the fall beers are out, too. And hundreds of beers from around the world. So meet me today at Mike's Beer Bar.